You are listening to the original Dixieland Jazz Band. The song is called Dixie Jazz Band One Step. This, believe it or not, is the first recorded jazz song of all time.
Really?
Yep.
It sounds just like the last one.
It sounds just like all the other ones, because our ears are not set to understand the differences. Mm-hmm. And it also has all those scratches and hisses and pops, which I like. I enjoy that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes something sound authentic. Mm-hmm.
Are you into vinyl? Do you have vinyl?
No. I feel like the technology has moved beyond us. We have better ways of doing that. But there's a hominess to it. Mm-hmm. The same way that there's like that old analog blurring on a VHS tape that I like. Yeah, and it's obviously a worse quality than a DVD or a Blu-ray, but it's comforting. That's what I saw growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Oh, I just remember this. We would always describe a phenomenon as Land of the Thin People, where the last shot...
Who's the we in this?
Oh, my family, my brothers and sister. So in the last shot of a movie, I specifically remember it in Jewel of the Nile. There's a whole bunch of people standing on a bank waving goodbye to our heroes as they sail away in the boat. And the movie shifts aspect ratio for the last shot, because the last shot is where the credits are coming up. And if they kept it at the pan and scan, you wouldn't see like the left and right edges of the credits.
So it narrows.
Yeah, so they needed to narrow it down. So the people went from regular size to all looking like 7.5 feet tall. That's why we called it Land of the Thin People. I guess we shouldn't have said Land of the Tall People.
But, yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, but... we were little kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was clever enough for us at the time.
I'm dancing all this.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Look. Ooh.
Is that just like a bad quality or...
I think it's two or three different types of bad quality.
Yeah.
Like, the original recording was bad, and then it's been passed down in various different formats over the years.
What if they're just really crappy musicians, and this is the way I'm like, this is the best they can do. Like, occasionally the clarinet player forgets to play for a couple seconds.
It's like everyone at the same time is like, everyone stop. Okay, continue. Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to 100 Years Ago Today, the 1917 podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Ryan, and joining me as always is Vinny Nardiello.
Ahoy, ahoy, Jeff.
Each week we talk about what was happening exactly 100 years ago today. Our sponsor this week is a farm for rent. This is from the St. Louis Twin City Star a day in February 1917. These were some of the classified ads.
What do you think was the twin city to St. Louis?
Oh, I'm sorry, St. Paul. Minneapolis.
All right. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does. Although it's weird that Minneapolis is now considered like 30 cities, and St. Paul is just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still called the Twin Cities. It's like the Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari thing. If you still thought of them as like, you know, the two eagles of Hollywood. Okay. Farm for rent. To a settled couple, farm under cultivation near city on Lake Minnetonka line. Furnished house, one cow, two horses. To be taken by March 1st. Phone E5558. You may still be able to get that. Only 100 years ago today. But they don't say the price, so you know, maybe it's in your price range. Okay, another one. A bargain. New house for sale. 5 rooms, modern, full lot, nice garden space, walking distance, small payment down, $15 per month. Wow, they're not kidding about small down payment. See owner at 2204 Minnehaha Drive.
Minnehaha?
Minnehaha.
Next. That was a... Hold on. Oh, okay. Remember last week I was doing Karnak?
Yeah.
That's actually a Karnak joke, I remember.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
He's folding a piece of paper to pretend to be an index card.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a spiel.
Mini haha.
Mini haha.
Mini haha. Mm-hmm. Now the envelope.
Open it up, Greg Karnak.
Mm-hmm. What Mickey Mouse heard coming from Donald Duck's bedroom. Mini-ha.
What is the phenomenon when a joke is so unfunny you laugh despite yourself?
That's one of the ones I remember, though.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid, and, you know, hey, you made a Mickey Mouse joke.
Yeah. And, like, a racy Mickey Mouse joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, about Mickey and Minnie, you know, or Donald and Minnie, you know, getting down in Porkin.
And I'm realizing part of the appeal of that way of telling a joke is the pause. Because you could have just hit someone with a punchline, but you needed to open up the card and pull it out. It's a whole routine. There's lots of buildup. Yeah. I really wanted to know what the joke was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What is Minnehaha, actually?
Minnehaha is just, it's next to Minnetonka, Minnesota. I guess Minnie means something.
That's just some kind of, I'm guessing it's an Indian thing, right?
Yeah, maybe it means lake. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Okay, we got a couple more. House for sale, 3352 4th Avenue South, 7 rooms, modern, almost new. Good location on Caroline, lot 40 feet by 132 feet. Price $3,500. Easy terms.
I like the farm of all the deals.
Yeah, you're taking the farm?
You got a horse, 2 horses and a cow. Think of all you could do with that.
Yeah. Now, it's for rent, but if you're getting a free 2 horses and a cow, you could sell the milk.
Yeah, you sell the milk and whatever you could do with the horses. I don't know.
Yeah.
They can fight. Yeah. They can fight and gamble on it.
How come they don't have horse fighting? Lots of other animals fight. You never ever hear about
They race.
Yeah, that's how they compete. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you've never heard of like a horse fighting ring where like people strap swords to the horse hooves and they just have to paw each other to death?
Well, I guess like in medieval times, like jousting was kind of like that, you know?
Well, maybe horses' hooves are already enough of a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But horses just never use them.
Yeah.
Although
they're gentle creatures.
The few times I've seen horses, I've looked at like the horse mouth and realized that thing is massive. That could take my entire hand in its mouth. Mm-hmm. And it has enough bite force because it's just eating grains and grinding all day that it would not let go unless it wanted to.
Do horses bite? I don't know.
Well, they'll do a little like if you are being mean to them. Mm. They're not trying to, like, eat you or anything.
But I mean, they know they can kick you and hurt you much, even more easily with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think even when they kick, they're not kicking with full strength. Just enough, like, hey, kid, get out of here, you bother me.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got 2 small stories for this week. And
before
then,
we get into that.
Uh-oh. Is there another correction?
Another correction here.
Okay.
Well, we were talking about G-strings last week.
Yes.
All right. And turns out that, you know, the etymology is in dispute of what G-string means.
What does that have to do with bugs?
What?
Oh, entomology. I thought you said etymology.
Etymology, yes. Yeah. Okay.
What does that have to do with the Japanese snack that you squeeze out of the peapod? Oh, that's etymology. I'm sorry. Okay, go on. I interrupted you.
All right, so G-string, the one that seems to be people have settled on.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Groin string.
Okay. So, G-string is one of those words that existed, but we weren't quite sure of the definition.
Yeah. And it seems like people have said it was short for groin.
I could buy that. And groin seems like one of those words that you wouldn't want to say in public, so you drop it down.
Yeah, back then, groin was the worst thing. Now, you know, you watch a football game, saying groin all over it.
Right. But there's lots of other things that they don't say during the football game.
Well, it's like, because G-strings are primarily worn by women. Now. Right? Yeah. But we don't think of women as having groins. I know they do.
but
I've had some experience with the ladies over the years. I've seen a groin or two in my day. But like we don't call that. We think of a groin, we think of a man's sweaty V area. Like,
yeah.
We don't think of it as like a womanly thing with like a little, you know, cute underwear thing.
There are lots and lots of synonyms for groin, and the women's ones have moved into a whole different camp.
Yeah.
And groin is now a word on the men's side to talk about the midsection.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had to say sweaty. Now I have the sweaty things in my head. And because we're talking about groin, it's sweaty men's things in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to move right on to the marriage of Rodin. You know Rodin, the famous You know, Rodin, the famous
sculptor. The one before Godzilla.
The Auguste Rodin, who made The Thinker.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. And I had to think to remember his first name and what he did.
You think of what sculpting is.
Yeah. He got married. So, good for him. Now, what I thought was interesting, this is like the first wedding that we had this year.
Mm-hmm.
People who do research about their families, they really only have three dates to go on. Mm-hmm. Birth date, death date, and wedding. That's what's written down. Everything else, like your whole life, is just basically unimportant because mm-hmm. it's not remembered. It's not like archived. But your birthday, your wedding day, and your death day are.
Yeah.
So this was the day that Auguste Rodin got married. He was born sometime before, and he'll die sometime afterwards.
Well, good for him. I was worried. I was worried he was going to die alone.
He could never be alone because he has these giant stone men with him. With their groins.
Does he have like a second famous sculpture? Or just?
Oh, yeah. There were a bunch. I went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art one time, like in college, and they had a Rodin gallery out front or on a ceiling. No, not on the ceiling. What's the opposite of a ceiling?
A floor?
A roof.
Oh, that's not the opposite of a ceiling.
The roof is the opposite of a ceiling.
No. Yeah.
It's on the opposite side.
It's on the opposite end of the top, I guess. Yeah.
I feel like that could be a whole podcast in itself. What's the opposite of a ceiling? A roof or a floor? But he had about 20 different sculptures, and they were all very good, but the Thinker, I guess, is the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they all are of a piece. They all look like the same guy doing different things.
Mm-hmm. Like, what are the other things he does? Fart noises in his armpit? That guy?
Well, if he wasn't called a thinker, you wouldn't really know what he was doing.
He's thinking. He's sitting there.
Yeah, but we know that because they decided to call it the Thinker.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they didn't call it the Thinker...
It would just be the sitter.
It would just be the sitter. Or the... No, I wouldn't say contemplator because then that implies thinking too. Yeah. But I don't know what he called the other ones.
Hmm.
If maybe they're all called thinker and this is just the famous one, like how Edvard Munch painted like 18 screens.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them got stolen recently. But I guess that's okay because there's so many others. Also going on this week, February 28th, there's a boxing match by one of the best boxers of all time named Benny Leonard. Now, you're a boxing fan.
Yes.
Do you know who Benny Leonard is?
I don't know much about Benny Leonard. I know Mr. Leonard.
Mr. Leonard from Z100?
Yes.
So, Benny Leonard's fight on February 28th was... He was fighting the bantamweight champion, or the former bantamweight champion named Jimmy Regan mm-hmm. at the Manhattan Casino. It was a 10-round match. The New York Times called it a draw.
Only 10 rounds. In 1917, that's like, you know...
That was a lot.
No.
No?
Back then, they'd fight for, like, you know, rounds and rounds.
Oh, yeah. I thought 10 was a lot.
No, not then, no.
Okay. Well, according to my...
Like 28-round fights.
According to my Hawaiian research assistant, the Des Moines Register said the fact that Regan went 10 rounds against our guy, Benny Leonard, was astonishing.
Yeah, well, they
weren't expecting it. Yeah, it was a remarkable accomplishment. And then according to the Ogden Standard... Dozens of times Jimmy seemed on the point of going down, but always he kept a foot. The Weekly Standard also wrote of Benny Leonard, there wasn't a punch that he didn't aim at Regan, and there wasn't one that was forceful enough to keep the Californian at bay. Now that kind of seems like, not really overreach, but one of those sports terms, like they're really going to want to try to get a touchdown on this play.
You could really write like, whatever.
How would you have a punch that's not aimed at the guy you're boxing? Where else are you going to aim it?
It was probably really easy to be a sports writer back then, but you could, like, write whatever the hell you wanted. And other than the people there seeing it live, nobody could dispute what you wrote.
Right.
There's no video of it. There's no evidence otherwise. Yeah. It's just, you know, like, this is what happened. Hey, I saw it.
And there's a long, long history of sports writers going into locker rooms and talking to athletes. And what the athletes say is... To be charitable, not what the sportscaster then writes the athlete as saying.
No, I know.
So, okay. You be the athlete, I will be the 1917 sportscaster.
All right, okay.
Okay. What should your name be? Do you have a good 1917 name?
Let's see. Oh, you know what? Hey, my an uncle that was a boxer.
Oh, you did?
Okay. Yes. All right. So I'll be Ernie Ratner.
Ernie Ratner. Oh, good. Okay. Yes. So, Mr. Ratner, you threw a lot of punches there. You had a little trouble in the fifth round. What were you thinking in the fifth round there?
I don't feel like improvising, Jeff. I have to do this really.
Okay. Yeah, we'll cut it out.
No, no, leave that in. I want people to know what kind of bag of garbage I'm working with.
Wait, I'm the bag of garbage.
You're the bag of garbage.
I'm the bag of garbage. You went into the gag and then...
I couldn't think of anything.
Bag of garbage, j'accuse. Well, maybe we'll work on it for next week. But...
Well, I had to come up with the funny stuff now?
Okay, point taken. It didn't need to be funny, it just needed to be crude.
And then, oh, is that what we were going
Yeah, with? Yeah, you would say something crude, and then I would clean it up and write it down.
So really, you're the one who has to think.
Yeah.
Not me.
Right.
I could just be some vile jerk-off like my uncle.
What are you saying about Mr. Ratner? I'm sure he's a very pleasant person.
He was very pleasant.
Yeah.
A little punchy.
Well, he's a boxer.
He's not around anymore, but, you know, he was...
Was that a pun?
What?
Punchy? He's a boxer?
Yeah. That's where punchy came from.
Oh, so it was more like a descriptive term?
Yeah, people were like, punchy or punch drunk? Yeah, because they got punched a lot.
Oh. See, I didn't know that's what punchy meant. I thought punchy meant like busting someone's balls a lot.
No. Punchy means like you can't think that fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard a George Foreman line where someone asked him why his five sons were all named George, and he goes, "You get hit by Muhammad Ali, you get hit by Frazier, you get hit by Evander Holyfield. See if you can remember any names."
Mm-hmm. It was a punchy joke,
right? Punchy joke.
Yes.
Okay, we're moving on to the big story this week. This is another theme event where we're not talking about something specific to the week. We're talking about something general about the year. We are going to discuss Delmonico's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Delmonico's was the most famous restaurant in New York of 100 years ago. It is apparently still around. We were talking about this before.
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. It may be under, I'm sure it's under new management.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be in the same location. It may have closed down for a couple of years and then opened up again.
I think it's down around Wall Street.
This is
one of the ones I've not been to this one. I've been to Peter Luger's. I've been to Gallagher's. I've never been to this one, though.
Okay. Now you are more of a food person than I am.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're a vegetarian now. You don't even eat this stuff.
I am, but they have more stuff than that. And very recent vegetarian. I don't get to even say I'm a vegetarian.
Like, what are you gonna do there? Just like, what are like, you know, one of the broccoli sides? Like, what would you get? Like,
yeah, that I don't. Yeah, I don't want to go there and order like a $73 lettuce sandwich.
Yeah, like I'm not be a vegetarian. That's fine, but you're wasting your time. You're wasting everybody's time by going.
Okay,
you're no fun.
Right now, but that's what the restaurant is like now.
Yes.
Yeah, they're basically like steakhouses mm-hmm. where there's a big giant entree and a bunch of sides that are probably really overpriced.
Yes,
but I want to see what Delmonico's was like 100 years ago. So are you ready to go into the time machine?
All right, here. Since you want to play act, how about this?
Okay.
You're the waiter.
I'm the waiter?
I'm the guy who's visiting.
Okay, good.
All right,
okay.
And I'll ask you what's on the menu. You're like, you know.
Okay, great. Okay, now I have to warn you. I'm not going to use the French accent, but a lot of these words are possibly French. And then we're going to see if I know what this food is, because most of it I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it you may not even know.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of... I have to think it's all just aspic. If I don't know what something is, it's just some sort of fish put in like clear gelatin.
Gelatin, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, welcome to Delmonico's. My name is Nigel. I shall be your server today.
Hey, Nigel. My name's Ernie Ratner. I'm a boxer, and I'm in town to have some food.
Very well, very well. May I interest you in a cocktail du homard? That is 80 cents. A frite sudoise, 60 cents. Cocktail de chard de crabe, 70 cents. And a canapé illuminé, 80 cents.
What's that last thing again? I'm just a humble boxer from North New Jersey.
Okay, I'm going to be done with my plum accent. The canapé illuminini. A-L-L-U-M-I-N-I. Illumini. 80 cents.
Illuminati?
I think it's aluminum, because Aluminum used to be super, super expensive That's why.
And was it edible back then?
No, but they would call things like you would say like you know, gold or silver.
Okay.
Yeah, people would use aluminum in the same way. So maybe it's just canapé served on an aluminum tray. Would that be a selling point?
I get, yeah, maybe, yeah. Like, oh, it's yeah. on the, you know.
Under, yeah, instead of a silver tray.
Or maybe they catered to goats back then. Billy goats come in and... You gotta have an aluminum can ready for them.
Did you know aluminum was more valuable than gold for a certain bit?
Really?
Yeah. And that's why the Brits say aluminium and we say aluminum. It was one... We talked about this last week, too, about British and English changes. We changed the name from aluminium to aluminum to make it sound like platinum because it was so valuable as a precious metal.
Mm-hmm.
But then they found a way to electrocute bauxite and they were able to make aluminum really, really cheaply. And now it's literally as cheap as wood.
Why are you telling me this, Nigel? I'm hungry.
I'm so sorry. Okay, we have beluga caviar, our own importation, per person, $1.75.
Wow. $1 for caviar?
$1.75.
That's highway robbery. What, I break a window?
We have little neck clams for 35 cents, if that suits your more economical nature.
That sounds delicious.
We have cherry stone clams for 40 cents, Cape Cods for 40 cents as well, and Blue Points for 40
cents. By the way,
cents.
Did you know me, Ernie Ratner, the boxer, my brother, Ace Nardiello,
yes,
was actually a clam-eating champion.
A clam-eating champion?
Yes, he was. I don't want. I'm too confused to tell the story with three. But no, my grandfather, who was Ernie's brother, uh-huh. He was he worked for a Bell Labs on the loading dock, and they okay. had their union barbecue every year. And he was they have a clam eating competition.
Oh, were they little necks, Blue Points, or Cape Cod?
Little neck clams. Little came on a half show, and he was a champion.
How many did he eat?
I think he ate something like 5-6 dozen clams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And, like, an individual clam doesn't have that much meat in it, so you can have a dozen.
He probably could have kept going, too. I think, I'm sure it was timed.
Yeah.
Like, what if it was, like, I don't know, maybe it was, like how many, 30 seconds.
And I'm sure the part of the challenge was getting the clams out of their shell. if you had all the shelled meat, you could just, like drink it down. Like,
yeah, no, yeah, slurp. I'm sure there were shell, yeah, slurp, but he was the champ. I remember he had trophies in his house. So he had like a bunch of trophies on like his clam eating days. Like he had a run. He was like my God, Tom Brady for a couple years there.
Now, I know competitive eaters nowadays, it's kind of like a dirty secret that they don't retain the food. They're able to hold it down for about 10 minutes and then everyone needs to go to the bathroom and no one ever says what happens to the food, mm-hmm. but when they come out they're 10 pounds lighter.
No, he ate and he digested this clam.
Well, okay, he actually ate it.
Yes.
He wasn't just like chipmunking it for 10 minutes.
No, he loved clams and yeah, he was a champ at it.
Very good.
His brother fought for the lightweight boxing title. Whereas he was a clam eating champion. Ernie Ratner was never a champ, though.
Well, he is a champ tonight in Delmonico's. Mm-hmm. I shall bring you on to...
Great, I'm back in character now.
Very good, very good. We're on to the hors d'oeuvres now. Celery is 35 cents. Yeah. Please note that we spell it C-E with an umlaut over it. E-L-R-I, which I believe the continental way.
So this is just an appetite you have, is celery.
That is weird. And 35 cents nowadays is probably like $6. That's a lot to spend on celery. And this is why I wouldn't want to go to Delmonico's like nowadays or like a steakhouse because they're like, okay, what can I have here? $6 for a piece of celery. I don't want to do that. Everything else is meat. We also have olives for 35. Olive murets a tharsis for 40. I don't know what those words mean.
Me neither.
Tomate on surprise for 60. Anchois toast 55.
Wait, hold on.
Anchovies on toast.
Oh, okay.
Supreme de Ponceur, which is, I think, pork supreme. Saucier de Lyon.
Pork supreme just sounds like something you're on like a Taco Bell menu.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what any of these are. Amanda Saleh. Hors d'oeuvres.
Armand de Sante?
Ooh, you can get Armand Asante. Salmon fumé 2 hours. Oh, okay. There's so much
you're
of this.
You're reading this for the first time, aren't you?
I'm reading some of it for the first time.
Like, when you tell me you're doing show prep, you're not doing anything at all, are you?
There's stuff later on that I know a little bit better. But I'd like to be surprised with you. But part of what I'm curious about is, did people 100 years ago know these words? Were these common words? Like, come on, have your tomatoes on surprise. They're getting cold. Get your anchois set toast. I'm going to wake people up if I keep yelling.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, actually. Yeah.
Okay, next is the potages coast. Potages? Is that soup? Yeah, soup. Okay. So there's tomate au riz, which I think is just tomato soup.
Tomatoes and rice?
Tomatoes and rice, yeah.
But wait, hold on, I'm already ratting again. That's tomatoes and rice, I know that.
We should literally have hats, so we like, put the hats on, which indicates when we're back in character. We have a delicious gambo for you, a Creole gambo. Gambo is G-O-M-B-O. Clam broth for 40.
Why are you telling me how this is spelled? This is very odd for a waiter to do that.
I'm only telling you the spellings that are different than what you might find 100 years from now. Oh, these soups sound awful. Imagine going to Delmonico's, like the best restaurant in New York, and ordering consomme or clam broth. I would just like to spend, you know, the equivalent of $9 on a bowl of broth.
Well, I'm guessing there's got to be some clam in there, right?
I don't think so. I think clam broth is, by definition, clam-free. If you added clams to it, then it'd be Rhode Island clam chowder.
Hmm. You're right. I mean, one of the big restaurants in Hoboken, if yours was the clam broth house.
Yeah. And there was, the broth seems like something that was very popular 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that maybe if it was just thin enough and you could see through it and there was nothing in your soup, then that was healthier for you. But really, it's probably worse for you because there's all the fat and some of the calories, but you're never full from eating broth.
No.
No.
No, that's like what you have when you're getting like a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
There's point. You can point out what you want.
I read a book about someone who drove around the world, and he said that only in America, in the restaurants, are there pictures of the food. And, like, in a place like Applebee's, like, I can't figure out what like, a bacon burger looks like. I need a picture of it. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, the bacon goes on top.
I'm doing it wrong for years.
Yeah.
I've just been mushing up in a bowl and shoving it up my ass.
I thought the bacon was the bread, and then the bread went in the middle. Cotelette de riz de veau, moderne. I was going to say, oh, that's veal, right. But it's V-E-A-U.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Rice and veal cutlet, cut the modern way. But no, but that's only for 80 cents.
Well, it's modern.
Yeah, okay, so it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, we have frog legs, grenouille. That one I know. Frog legs are $1.25. Filet mignon, which of course they say mignon de filet.
Do you like frog legs?
I had them one time when I was in Quebec, and they tasted like the crust of a Domino's pizza.
Really?
Yes.
I've had them too. I wouldn't really describe them as that, though.
How would you describe your grenouille?
They weren't bad. It's a lot of work, though. There's not a ton of meat on them.
No, there's not. And I probably had like 8 frogs die so that I could have my frog legs and think, oh, this is like eating crusted Domino's.
this is
definitely worth $18 and to be hungry at the end of the meal.
Yeah, it's a lot of work for very little meat. That's my complaint about it there.
Yeah, I'm beginning to feel that way about like all sorts of other foods that you need to open up, like pistachio nuts and Reese's peanut butter cups. If there's like 2 layers of shelling or wrapper, I feel like you're I don't want to do it anymore.
Any kind of meat on a bone, do you feel that way?
No, because I don't need to. I could eat around the bone with ribs or a drumstick. I think I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I can pick it up. But a clam that I need to open up first.
Oh, that's work.
Yeah, that's work.
You know, I can do it. I can open a clam.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'd much rather have someone else do it for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd rather have the clam chowder.
The clam eating champion.
Yeah.
Help me out.
Yeah. Well, that you have a, it's in your family bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After the entrees, there's something called roti, R-O-T-I. Oh, that's how they say rotisserie. Hmm. I didn't know that. Maybe that's a French word. I mean, rotisserie does sound like a French word.
Yeah.
But they didn't carry the whole French word over.
It was shorthand.
Yeah, they shorted it. And they have a grill where everything's in French. Steak Dijon Agneau, Côtelette Agneau, Canneton. I don't know hardly any of these foods are. Legumes, okay, at least that I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Salads, of course, they need to be hoity-toity and say S-A-L-A-D-E-S. Celery, cresson, tomatoes. Oh, they can't even say tomatoes. I have to say tomates. Lorenzo. I don't know what Lorenzo is.
Italian guy.
Escarole, which I think is the car the Italian guy drives.
And my film has it, Scarole. What is it? It's like Scarole.
A chiffonade?
Scarole and beans.
Chiffonade, which I think is like a very tall bureau for 55 cents. Pretty good deal. I don't know why they have it in the salad section. endives for 60 cents. Now, I'm guessing this is like an actual salad.
Now, they have salads listed after the entree?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and after the legumes. And then, finally, desserts. Most of these things are in the 40, 50 cent range. And the entrees are like a buck and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty expensive. You're dropping like $60, $70 on a meal here in modern day.
Mm-hmm. That's a steakhouse. It's actually on the cheaper end for a steakhouse, right?
Well, I guess maybe not the steakhouses I go to.
Outback.
Yeah, the steakhouses I go to, you can get a chicken fried steak for about $11. And it has the calorie count right on there. And it's nice to know, wow, 3,100 calories. Okay.
I hate that whole calorie count thing. I hate it so much. Like, I'm aware that this is shit food I'm eating.
Yeah.
Let me just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell, like, you know, I didn't go in there thinking this was going to be a healthy option.
Some of these desserts seem familiar, where I've now finally made it down to the dessert.
Let me guess. All right, here, I'm going to guess the dessert. Right?
Yeah, take a guess.
Baked Alaska.
Oh, do I have Baked Alaska? They have creme camelaire, creme caramel, eclairs, guava, bonbons, petite fours. I don't see Baked Alaska. They really should have it.
That seems like a 1917 thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right on that.
Well, maybe it came around like later to celebrate Alaska becoming part of
state,
right?
I think it was when we first bought it from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your bonbons, though. Why are bonbons always the old example of a woman who's home not working? It was always like, oh, you're home eating bonbons all day.
Yeah, that was a stereotype.
Yeah, why bonbons? We were born.
I don't even quite know what bonbons are.
They're chocolate-covered ice cream.
Okay, that's what I was going to say I thought they were. But then when I've seen, like, Married with Children jokes about someone eating bonbons, they're eating, like, room-temperature bonbons that have been sitting out for hours. Mm-hmm. There's no mention that they just came from the fridge or anything. Now, because it's, like, a frozen food, I can imagine that you needed to have a refrigerator. And back, like, 100 years ago, That's a fancy thing. Not everyone has it. Not even has an ice box back then.
So you think that's why bonbons became the example?
Yeah, I think, yeah. It was basically just a way of saying ice cream, but they didn't even sell ice cream back then. So the only way you could get an iced dessert was to have someone put a little tiny scoop of it and cover it in chocolate. Mm-hmm. Maybe because the chocolate would keep it better. Because if it started to melt, it would just stay in the chocolate shell.
If I ever lose my job and become a house husband. Mm-hmm. I'm going to eat bonbons.
Every day?
Every day. All day. It's eating bonbons all day. That was always the freeze.
Yeah. What if you just had one bonbon a day? What if you limited it yourself? And then if someone said, you're eating bonbons all day, you could say, no, I'm not.
Just chew on the same bonbon all day long.
Just one. Only one. So, you're done at Delmonico's. You are heading back to the place you came from before because you have visited New York on your trip. You go to Penn Station, which is called Pennsylvania Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania Railroad has a very, very fine dining establishment. I have a menu here, which is almost as good as Delmonico's. And I have to think that this is not what they're serving on the train.
Mm-hmm.
because it says at the bottom of the menu, telephone service, booth and side tables, dining room. I don't think it's possible to have telephone service on a moving train.
No, it's not in trains, it's in the station.
No. Now, I guess it's possible if you were, like, really rich that, like, you could call ahead to another station and then they could deliver a message to you. But I wouldn't call that a telephone service.
Well, I think it means that you probably had, like, you know, a phone available at the restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what I like about the Pennsylvania Railroad is that they have most everything's in English. So they have entrees ready to serve. We have lamb chop Nelson with peas for 45 cents.
Ooh, peas!
Creole-style roast beef hash, which they wrote as roast beef hash, comma, Creole, 50 cents. Baked beans for 35 cents. Baked beans as an entree is weird. That's very hobo style. Yeah,
well, it's a train. You're on a train. There's probably hobos on that train. They knew their audience. They got to cater to them.
You know,
we got a bunch of hobos coming in.
Now I'm thinking that hobos eating baked beans on a train is just like them trying to live it up, because the people in first class are eating the same baked beans except on a very nice plate, being charged 10 times as much.
I don't need them fancy plates. Man, they can't for Chester.
There's a whole bunch of relishes at the Pennsylvania station. Sliced cucumbers, olives, mangoes, gherkins, mixed pickles, celery again. Wow, celery is 30 cents. It's twice as much as a pickle.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you go to a restaurant and get celery? Was it like a popular thing back then?
It comes with wings now. It's the only time you see celery in a restaurant.
Right.
When you're getting wings.
Right. And the celery is like, don't pretend. No one ordered the wings and blue cheese in order to have celery. That's just the thing you eat to make it seem like you're having a balanced meal. So there's oysters and clams here too. That was apparently a popular thing. I guess when you went to New York, you were going to New York for seafood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of New York as a place I would go for seafood. I think of like a place on the shore. But New York is, of course, on the shore. Because we now, all of our food is moved around hundreds of miles from place to place, I read that even if you go out to, like, Provincetown, the very tip of Cape Cod, you can't get fresh seafood. The seafood you're buying is shipped in from a place in Boston or Dorchester, who then caught it somewhere else hundreds of miles mm-hmm. away. So the whole idea of, like local catch is gone.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but back 100 years ago, it was still in play. So all the oysters and clams were probably really, really fresh. They were caught that day by a regular fisherman who just had a fishing license or a clamming license. There's a cream stew for 60 cents, which I think is New England clam chowder.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, before they decided to call it that. Fried oysters for 40 cents, clam stew, 35 cents. A cherry stone cocktail, 35 cents. I don't know what that is.
You put cherry stone clams in a raw or whatever.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Five different types of oysters. So this is, New York is just an oyster hub. And I don't think of it as that.
Mm-hmm.
I need to start thinking of New York as like an oyster place.
Yeah, I mean, if you're visiting New York, now we grew up around New York, so I guess we don't really think about it as like a tourist. I guess, like, what is it that, like, oh, you're in New York, what do you have to try? Pizza, right?
Right. Pizza or hot dog?
Pizza, yeah. I'm guessing maybe like the New York deli food.
Yeah. You know, all of that is due to immigrants. Pizza is Italian immigrants. Hot dogs are German immigrants. Mm-hmm. The deli is Jewish immigrants. So this is like before that wave of immigrants came in. Or while they're here, but before they were celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
So New York was celebrated for seafood before.
Celery and oysters.
Yeah. Veal chop breaded with tomato sauce and red beets. You had me until red beets. And, you know, the veal I'm not too happy with. Sweetbreads glazed with mushrooms. Don't know what sweetbreads are.
Sweetbreads are, what do you call it, like the organs. Like stomach organs and intestines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You need to, it's a premium for sweetbreads.
Wow.
Yeah, 70 cents instead of 60 cents.
They loved their organs back then.
Yeah. Hungarian beef goulash with spätzle, 45 cents. Much cheaper. But I'd much rather go for that than the sweetbread. Deviled crabs, Eastern style. Corned beef hash, brown, with a fried egg. That's breakfast.
Yeah, corned beef hash.
That's a breakfast food.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird. Going to a very fancy restaurant ordering the corned beef hash.
It's probably real corned beef, though. This one just slop out of a can, you know?
Yeah. Oh, here's something 1917. Chicken liver patties. My grandmother loved chicken livers. I don't know why.
Usually it's like almost like a...
Like a pate. Like
spread, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So every time we go over to her house, Nan and Pa would put out a bunch of saltines and a bunch of chicken liver. And, like, that was it. And the adults would eat all the chicken liver, and we'd grab the saltines. And I would always be brave enough to try some chicken livers. And I tried, and it was a meat spread.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know meat could spread. Meat was supposed to be meat. It was not supposed to be like peanut butter. And if it was going to spread like peanut butter, at least, you know, taste like peanut butter. Don't actually taste like meat. Baked pork and beans Boston style. I don't know what the Boston style is. Yeah, maybe that's where Boston Market came from.
Oh, it's Bean Town.
Yeah, oh, okay. So the beans are what makes it Boston style. Okay, that makes sense. Boston brown bread.
It's an entree bread.
Yeah. 15 cents, which isn't that very much.
You get the thing that, like the similarly sweet bread is Oregon's, like Boston brown bread. That's like, you know, pig anuses. Everybody knows that. Like, why are you even questioning this?
For dessert, we have peach Melba for 25 cents. Applesauce for 20 cents.
Applesauce?
Yeah. Even 100 years ago, applesauce was the easiest thing in the world to make. Why are you going to a restaurant and ordering applesauce? They have homemade pumpkin pie, old-fashioned bread pudding and wine sauce, stewed prunes, and raisin cake. Two separate things. Stewed prunes cost you twice as much as applesauce.
That's the old-time comedian.
Oh, yeah.
From the 1920s. Stewed prunes.
Oh, and at the bottom of the menu, there's this note. Should New York vote prohibition or be deprived of license by local option, please realize we will be unable to serve drinks with your meal. So prohibition was like a looming threat.
Yes.
Yeah, enough so that the menu was saying, like, at any given time, the well may run dry.
I hope we keep this show long enough to do, like, a prohibition episode. Because I think we should make moonshine. And drink moonshine on air.
Making it and drinking it are two different things. I bet we can just buy moonshine.
Yeah, fiction is not real moonshine. It's not real moonshine unless there's a threat of going blind.
I heard about someone who was trying to make his own moonshine, and his mom or his mother-in-law got so worried that it was like you're going to break the family apart. I can't talk to you anymore because you're making moonshine. Because they thought he was going to be arrested. Because they still thought, like, Elliot Ness was out there trying to... Like, that's still the number one priority. People making discount hooch and not paying the
I tried moonshine once. A friend of mine, his cousin made it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we tried the moonshine. And, you know, it's weird because I didn't think I was drunk.
Okay.
However, my friend Mark. We went to a bar where his... wife was tending bar, so we drank the moonshine first. We're like, yeah, we're fine. Maybe there's not any alcohol in this. And we went to the bar, and she told us, you guys have to leave.
Wow.
And we're like, why? She's like, you're not saying real words.
That's how bad it was?
And we didn't realize we were doing it. We're apparently, wow. like what we thought was English.
And you're like, you're linked in this sort of like drunk twin language where you both thought that you're doing fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were just like, you know, like apparently we're not actually intelligible.
That sounds like great podcast fodder.
Yeah.
Maybe one of us does it and the other one comments on it. I have almost no tolerance, so I maybe should be the one.
I don't think I've ever seen you drink.
No, I'll have the social beer, but that's really it. I'm trying to remember the last time I actually had so it was like 2.5 weeks ago, I had half of a Guinness.
I see sometimes you're the guy who will have a couple sips of beer and leave it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just not that interested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm having it because I feel like as an adult, I shouldn't be drinking soda all the time. All
right, so I think we determined that you should be the one to drink the moonshine.
The moonshine?
Okay. And I should comment on you.
Okay. You know, Mountain Dew was originally supposed to be like moonshine. It was advertised. That's why it was called Mountain Dew.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know if they actually had real moonshine in it at first. But it'd be great if it did. Maybe that's a mixed drink. Moonshine and Mountain Dew. Okay, we are moving on to birthdays. Having a birthday this week on February 27th or 28th, it's a little unclear, is John Connolly, who was a politician who died on the same day as JFK, who was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald's bullet.
No, he wasn't killed. He lived.
Wait, he lived?
He lived.
Oh.
I know he was hit. But
he was hit? Oh, but,
he was hit, but he lived.
Oh, I got my facts wrong. I brought him up because I wanted to mention that no matter what else he did before or afterwards, he's just going to be remembered for being the guy in the car with JFK.
He was in the car, yeah. I think he shot him in the arm.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains why you didn't hear about two guys that died.
No.
No. But I didn't want to do a quiz about John Connolly, because obviously I know very little about the man. I don't know if he was the governor or the mayor or...
Or if he's killed.
Or if he's alive or dead. Or if he's still alive or dead. Well, okay, he is dead, because he'd be 100 years old if he was alive, and we would have heard about that. That'd be a big deal. But our quiz this week is about someone else who's having a birthday. Anthony Burgess, English science fiction writer, was born February 25th, 1917. So, are you ready for Oh, My Brother's a Horror Show quiz?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Anthony Burgess wrote A Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm.
It became one of the definitive movies of like our parents' generation, of our generation. The definitive dorm room
poster. Yeah, I had that poster. Right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of unusual dialogue, because in the book, he made up a whole new lingo for his characters to say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this comes from other words, from Russian and French, and then they're kind of like transliterated into what it might sound like to an uneducated British person.
Okay.
Okay, so here's our quiz on NADSAT. NADSAT was the name of the language he made up. And he started the unfortunate trend of everyone having to make up their own language if they're doing world building in a book, which I just don't like it. Sometimes just tell a story. Don't show that you did a lot of research. Okay. Our NASDAQ quiz. What does apipalilagi mean?
I don't know. That one sounds Hawaiian, though, kind of.
It does sound Hawaiian.
Yeah.
No, that is just apology.
Oh, okay. But
he decided to bring it out to apipalilagi instead of apology. Okay, this one is full-on English. What does bog man mean?
A guy who lives in a bog.
It means a priest.
Oh.
Because they switched the words around. Bog became God-man, and God-man is... You can connect that to priest. If I said that you were Bugatti, what would that mean?
I'm guessing he's going with some kind of like bourgeois kind of insult.
Yes, yes. Bugatti means rich.
Okay.
It's transliteration of the Russian word for rich. I'll skip the next one, because it's Brachny, which is a transliteration of the Russian word for bastard. If I offered you a cancer, what would I be offering you?
A cigarette.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do you remember that one?
No.
No. Okay. I didn't remember that one. I wasn't sure if you did. Droog. I definitely remember.
I remember the word droog.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't remember what it means, though. You did a sentence.
Yeah. Oh, my three droogs and I went down to the milk bar.
My three sons. You're Frederick Murray and
Droog is friend. Horror show. I've heard horror show a lot. That's like the one takeaway word that I got from the Clockwork Orange fake language, and I didn't know what it meant.
And neither do I.
You don't know either. Okay, it means good.
Okay,
and I didn't know how people got good from horror show, because horror show sounds like awful, like, you know, oh, that set I just did was a horror show.
Yeah. I've said that several times.
But horror show is a transliteration of the Russian word for good. Okay. If I said that I spent a week in the stripey hole, where was I?
Jail.
Yes, prison. Mm-hmm. That one's just like speaking like a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
If I said I had to go to the they say, where am I going?
The they say. Let's see.
The they say.
I don't know this one.
The they say is the bathroom.
Okay.
And this is pulling from French, because in England, the bathroom is the water closet of the WC.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the French would say it with a French accent is they say.
Mm-hmm.
So, they say. What is a world cast?
I'm a newscast.
Yeah, broadcast. Yeah. Yeah. But I guess it indicates some sort of future technology where you're getting multiple different auditory and visual and scent channels at the same time. Yeah. Okay, and our final one, what are zoobies?
Zoobies.
Nice set of zoobies. Animals. There. Teeth.
Oh, that doesn't do Zoobly Zoo. Remember Zoobly Zoo?
I don't remember Zoobly Zoo.
That was with, what's it, Ben Vereen. Ben Vereen played like a lion.
I definitely don't remember Zoobly
Zoo. Yeah, Ben Vereen dressed as a lion, like very garish makeup, very similar to like cats.
Is it a movie or a TV show?
It was a TV show.
Huh. He was on a TV show.
Called Zoobly Zoo.
Huh. I did not know that. Was it a good TV show?
That part I don't remember.
It's before good and bad were part of our
I just remember it existed.
Yeah. It was TV. Yeah. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be bad. It's just TV. Yeah. That concludes this week of 100 Years Ago Today, the 1970 podcast. We'll be back next week talking about more stuff from the year 1917. Until then, ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.